Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much that when we are tempted and we fall, we can fall on you. And Lord, I am so thankful that that is a safe place. That is a secure place, and it's a forgiving place. And Lord, we want to thank you that for being one of your children and one of your followers, that when we do fall, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, your word says that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he'll always rise again. So Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, as we take a look at another priority that you emphasize in your word today, I pray that it would be real to us. And Lord, that you would help us to see our place in connecting with folks who don't know you. And Lord, and help us to have your heart for the lost. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here's what we've been doing. And, wow, you know, I'm sitting over here, and my back is to everybody, and we're like in the overflow section outside. Hey, overflow, open the balcony, glad you're here. All right, woo! Yeah, it's kind of like in a football game. You're up in the nosebleed section. That's good, all right. Oh, man. You know, church can be fun, can't it? You know, it's all right. It's okay. All right. Well, we've been in a series while we've been at the barn talking about first, things that God says needs to be a priority in our life. And we've taken a look at the first commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we're looking at where God says, put this first, or make this first, or make this a priority, or something of that nature. And one was loving God. And another one we looked at was how to be first in God's kingdom. And there we saw that it's all about having a servant's heart and rolling up your sleeves and ministering to people and investing and influencing and making a difference and helping others come to know Christ and grow spiritually and succeed in life. And last week, we looked at the importance of forgiving others in our lives and how that is going to be a daily process, and how there's always going to be somebody that you have to forgive. I mean, whoever you forgave the last time, well, there's somebody else in your future that you're going to forgive. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, and there may have been somebody you forgave years ago, but there's something that happens, you know, it's an emotional trigger, it's a smell, it's, you know, have you ever seen somebody and they look like somebody that you just don't want to ever see again? And you have issues with this brand new person just because they look similar to somebody who hurt you? You know, and they have no idea that you're struggling emotionally to like them, okay? Sometimes when you see somebody like that, it brings up things and you may have to, you know, forgive someone again. And just because we're human and we kind of just dig things up. And so we talked about all that forgiveness last time. And hopefully that was a blessing to you and it helped you take a step forward in letting some things go in your life that God wants you to forgive over. All right, now, 1 Timothy chapter 2. You should have an outline. If not, you can look on your neighbor, but you'll find it helpful today. Does anybody not have an outline that needs one? Because Kenzie's got some back there. Okay, everybody that wants one. Okay, there's okay, right over there, way over there, a few over there. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. I urge you, first of all, okay, that's our theme, first. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. And give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Now, pay close attention to the next two verses. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Okay, you need to understand that the context, the driving force behind this prayer that we're going to take a look at, is not just praying for your kings and authorities and your nation and that, you know, we'll talk about that. It's bigger than that. This is really how to pray evangelistically for lost people in your life. That's what Paul's doing. And I want to unpack some things about this to show you that, because he's saying, look, first of all, I want you to pray for all people, but the end result is it's because God wants everyone to come to know him. Okay, that's the end result. And so that's what he's focusing on. So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna try to unpack some things and hopefully be helpful to you. Now, before we get into the points, there's a little chart on your outline. Okay, see that? If you don't have that, look on your neighbors. Okay, here at Genesis, we believe that there are five biblical stages of spiritual growth, okay? Now, each stage has different levels, okay? But I just want you to see each stage at this point. The first stage is the seeker. This is the person who is spiritually lost. He needs or she needs Jesus. They're exploring truth. And when we say seeker, they're seeking their meaning in life and their significance and why they're here and what are they going to spend their life doing? I mean, they're just seeking stuff. Now, when that person gets saved, they become a believer. The Bible describes this person as a spiritual infant. Now they know Jesus. They are discovering truth. But they don't know a whole lot, okay? They're still messy. They still have to be spoon-fed spiritually. They struggle reading the Word and understanding what it means and how it applies to their life. Talking to God is not quite comfortable yet. They're a little awkward with God, you know? But as they grow, they step into the learner stage, and the Bible calls this a spiritual child. This person is growing in Jesus. They're growing in truth. At this stage, they can feed themselves. They know how to read the Word. They know how to get some application out of it. They may be able to talk about it with others a little bit. You know, they're able to pray to God, and they're able to talk about God things and that kind of stuff. And they are able to, at some level, they can bless and minister a little bit, but their world is still all about them, okay? At this level, they're still pretty selfish, okay? It's all about their needs, all about their wants, all about their preferences and that kind of thing. But they're learning. Now, if they continue to grow, they'll move into the spiritual young adult stage. This is what we call the server. This person knows how to read the Word. I mean, man, they're praying. They have a heart to minister and to serve and make a difference and impact. I mean, they're serving Jesus. They're applying the truth. Sometimes, you know, they have the look of, man, they're a mature believer. I mean, they're getting there. You know what I'm saying? They're solid. But the big difference between the learner and the server is that the server is outward focused now. Okay, they really want to make a difference. Now, if that person continues growing, they go to the next stage, and that's the leader. This is a spiritual parent. They're leading for Jesus. They're guiding others to the truth. They're helping people through the process. They understand the discipleship, spiritual growth process. The Bible uses phrases like, you know, a spiritual father to people. And the difference between the server and the leader is that the leader, he or she is able to recognize where someone is at the stage, and they have a spiritual parent mentality of helping them grow spiritually. They don't treat all children the same. They don't treat all believers the same on their spiritual growth. And they recognize, okay, here's what they need to go to the next level. They think like a parent. All right, now, today's message, the reason why I did that is because today's lesson is focusing on the seeker. We're praying for the seeker. The context of 1 Timothy is about praying for the lost, okay? And so we're going to talk about the seeker. So number one, here we go. Praying for seekers is a priority. It's got to be a priority in your life. Paul said, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Let me give you some observations about this priority. This priority calls for urgency. Paul says, I urge you. And that's a sense of, there's a passion there. There's a sense of urgency there. Man, I'm urging you. I need you to pray for the seekers. And there's a sense of urgency. This priority calls for commitment. If you'll look at this, the Bible says, he says, first of all, to put anything number one or have it as priority is going to take commitment. How many of y'all ever tried to lose weight? That takes absolutely no commitment, right? Takes no change in your lifestyle. I mean, you know, the more cheese dip I eat and the more TV I watch, I seem to just, the weight just seems to fall off. No. To do anything, how many of y'all have ever gone from a couch to a 5K? You ever done that one? Okay. You know, you said, Jeff, you just said we try to even lose weight. Come on, couch to 5K? No. The only person that's probably done that would probably be Kevin Wilburn. And he goes from a couch to a marathon. But it does call for commitment, and it's going to take some change in life. You're going to have to make a priority. You're going to have to make a list. You've got to put on your to-do list. You've got to put on your calendar. You're going to have to make some names. You're going to have to pray for these people. This priority calls for broadness. Paul says we are to pray for all people. In this context, he was referring to the all people who are seekers and don't know Christ. In other words, no one is off limits. There is no seeker who is beyond prayer. There is no seeker beyond hope. And there's no seeker in your life that you work with, go to school with, lives in your home or next door that is a lost cause. You know, and they are in your life for many reasons, but for one reason, it may be that God wants you to take their name, their face, put it down on your prayer list, and you pray for them on a weekly basis, if not daily. You're committed to praying for them, that their heart would open up, that they'd come and know Christ. It's a priority. Number two, praying for seekers involves various prayers. Paul goes on to say, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Well, depending on what translation you have, there's really three types of prayers here. There's a prayer of supplication for the seeker. Paul says, ask God to help them. Some translations say like entreaties and prayers. The idea here is that they need something and they're lacking something. Here's where we pray that God would open their eyes to show them their need for Jesus. They don't get it yet. You know, they don't understand why their sin separates them from God. And they don't understand yet how somebody who died on the cross 2,000 years ago could make a difference today in their life. And you need to pray for insight and their eyes will be opened. There's also a prayer of intercession for the seeker. Paul goes on to say we are to intercede on their behalf. We're to intercede for them. Some translations use the word petitions, but to intercede for someone means to fall in with someone or to get involved with them. Here's where we identify with their needs. We become involved in their struggles mentally, emotionally, and sometimes physically. To intercede relates to words like advocacy. Empathy, sympathy, compassion, or involvement. When you are interceding for someone to come to know Jesus, God may speak to your heart about what you need to do in their life to bless them and encourage them and just support them in some way. And you actually, here's what's cool, when you're praying for someone to get saved, you actually might become the answer to your own prayer. Say, God, would you please send somebody in their life that could communicate with them? And all along, God's beginning to open opportunities and he's changing your heart and their heart to where you begin to build a relationship and you become the answer to your own prayer and you're the significant one that's going to make a difference in that individual's life and come to know Jesus. But I also want you to see there's a prayer of thanksgiving for the seeker here. We're talking about various kinds of prayers when you're praying. Paul says we are to give thanks for them. This is praying with gratitude. You know, we thank God for the gospel. We thank God for the power of the gospel. It's not in your awesome presentation. It's not going to be in your personality. It's not, no. You just share the gospel. You just tell them, you know, this is what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to draw. The Holy Spirit's going to convict. The Holy Spirit's going to do all the hard work, if you will. And you just have to, by faith, and trust God that he is going to just take the gospel and use that to change someone's life as they place faith in him. And you just thank God that the gospel has that kind of power. I mean, it changed you. The person who probably shared the gospel with you probably was not Billy Graham or Franklin Graham. I have a friend from college. He got saved watching Billy Graham on TV. But I mean, most of my friends who got saved did not watch Billy Graham on TV. They got saved, you know, at some country church or city church, or they in the living room or some youth event, and they just heard the gospel shared by somebody normal like you. And so you just thank God that He can use people like you. He can use people like us. You know, we don't have to be the fanciest in the town, but you know, you don't have to be the best speaker in town or the best looking in town. You know, you can, you know, I hope there's not any Bubbas here, but you can be Bubba. You know, you can be a girl named Bubba and still share the gospel, and God's still going, you know, work through that. But we just simply have to thank God. And so when you get into this, what you're doing, you're just praying that God will do something in their life, open their eyes. You're getting involved in their life, and you're thanking God for what He's doing. And that keeps you positive. That keeps you motivated. That keeps you seeing the seeker in the right perspective when you're praying that way. Now, number three, praying for seekers includes the leaders of the nation. Here's where it gets a little bit bigger, a little bit broader, and it's not as tangible as what we've been talking about. Paul says in verse 2, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. Now, as we are praying for the seekers in general, we are reminded to pray for these kings and all who are in authority. So that'd be like our president and our governors and lawmakers and the Supreme Court and those kind of people. Now, keep in mind that at the time Paul wrote this, when he's saying pray for this way for all kings and all who are in authority, Nero was the one in authority, one of the worst rulers in history. I mean, man, he was vicious. He was mean towards believers. He hated Christians. He had them burned, killed. I mean, just all kinds of crazy stuff. Fed to lions. I mean, for entertainment. I mean, think about that. And he's saying, look, I want you to pray for the kings and all who are in authority. Now, here's a thought for you. When you're praying for the authorities in over our nation and in your life, if you're truly praying for them, your heart will be changed towards them. As believers, we express sometimes too much hatred toward leaders when we need to express a whole lot more love. Doesn't mean we support them all the time. But you need to be careful at how you speak about the leaders in your life. Okay? Because what's in the heart comes from where? I mean, in the heart, it comes out of the mouth. I mean, if you're talking negative, complaining all the time, you know what I'm saying? You're just passing on bad news, you know, all the time about your leaders. You know, it's just coming. I mean, that's your attitude towards them. When your attitude is, hey, man, we need to pray for these guys and these ladies and that are in leadership. Under this, I want to give you a couple of things to pray for. First of all, we pray for our leaders to become followers of Jesus. Until you know they are, just assume they're not. You know, say, Lord, I pray that you'd open their eyes, that you would place people into their life and, you know, intercede for them, lay a petition for them, pray for their salvation. But we pray for our leaders to give the church favor as well. So, Lord, I pray that as they have an opportunity to make a decision or they cast a vote that would bless and favor the church and its ministry in the United States. Now, why do we do that? Well, this takes us to number four. Praying for seekers creates an evangelistic culture. See, Paul says the result of this kind of prayer is so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. And as the believers pray for the leaders of the nation and some of them become believers and some of them become stronger believers and they show favor toward the church, it will create an environment that is peaceful and quiet between the government and the church. It's a whole lot easier to share the gospel when the government's not breathing down your neck. I mean, obviously you can share the gospel in jail and behind the Iron Curtain in the years past or underground, that kind of stuff. But, you know, the persecuted church that Kinsey was referring to earlier, man, they have to be very creative. It's a lot more difficult to share the gospel in that environment because it's not peaceful and quiet in their culture when it comes between the government and the believers. So when we're praying for seekers, when we're praying for the leaders of our nation, in reality, we're praying that they would cast votes and make laws and things that would continue to allow the church to do what we're doing right now. and to where we can talk about the gospel at work and on breaks when people ask us, or someone asks you at school about your faith, you have the freedom to just talk about it. So praying for seekers creates an evangelistic culture. Now, within this evangelistic culture, you can help create this. Because he says here, he says, look, this is marked by godliness and dignity. This is your godliness, this is your dignity that he's talking about. See, a life marked by godliness is a life that has a healthy reverence toward God. You and I should live for the majesty and the holiness and the love of God. Our life should say, wow, man, they're passionate about Jesus. Not weird, not obnoxious, you know, not overbearing, but man, you just have this godliness about you. But then it's also a life marked by dignity. This is a life that has a strong sense of morality. In other words, you are honest, you're kind, you're trustworthy, you're faithful. You don't deceive, you don't manipulate. You don't have a hidden agenda. There's a sense of dignity. You treat people with respect. You speak to them and about them with respect. And so when you're doing all these things, when you're praying for the leaders and the leaders are casting votes that help shine favor on the church, where the church has a peaceful and quiet culture to minister in, you're living this godly lifestyle and this life of dignity at work and at school. This creates a culture to where evangelism and the spread of the gospel and seekers can hear it openly and safely, and also with confidence, because they see how you live it. Is this making sense? There's a reason why we're doing this. Hang on. Number five, praying for seekers pleases God. This is good. The Bible says this is good and pleases God our Savior. Praying for seekers, praying for our leaders, and living a life marked by godliness and dignity is good and pleases God. Now, many seekers are struggling with the weight of their own sin and the shame of what they have done. I mean, some seekers who are, you know, they're really seeking an answer. I mean, you've got some seekers who just really aren't seeking yet, but you have some who are seriously thinking about Jesus and thinking about God and thinking about how that impacts their life. And when you are ministering to them and you're praying for them and you are loving them and you are interceding for them, it pleases God. That's a good thing. And so the people who are in your life right now, people you work with, person you can't stand to work with, the people in your home that live with you, the people you go to school with, your neighbors, when you are praying for them and you're loving on them and you're treating them with dignity and you've got that godly life thing going on, over time, God is watching and using you and working all things out and synergizing all this stuff going together in that seeker's life. And as he watches you do this heart of evangelism and trying to reach lost people in your life, you are bringing joy to God. That's what he says. This is good and pleases God. That's kind of a cool thing. Man, I'm bringing joy to God when I'm doing that. And number six, praying for seekers reflects God's desire. Paul says in verse 4 that God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Now, okay, regardless of what you believe about how one comes to salvation, whether you believe it is a person's free will or God's sovereign choice, it is and has always been God's desire that everyone be saved and come to understanding and the knowledge of God's truth, regardless of how that happens, the theology behind all of that. But here's what I want you to see. There are two truths I want you to see here. First, God desires everyone to be saved. Everyone. Think of the most meanest, evil person that you would love to see dead. Think of the person who you would, because you are trying to be a good Christian, you don't use the word hate, but you extremely dislike that person. And you wish they were dead. You wouldn't say that to anyone. As a matter of fact, you extremely dislike this person so much that you not only wish they were dead, but that they would have a slow, agonizing, torturous death. And right before they died, they would be revived, brought back to health, and go through the process again. Jeff, is there somebody specific you have in mind? Yeah. I don't want to talk to you. But you need to understand that even whoever that is in your life, God's desire, his heart, is to see them transformed. Okay? Part of the solution, part of the answer to that person's life is you. And for whatever reason, they're in your life. And you are to pray for them. You are to lift them up before God and ask God to do a miracle and an incredible thing in their life that you personally cannot do. It is going to take a God thing to interrupt their heart and mind and get their attention. But God's desire is that they come to know him. All through the Bible, God is constantly talking about how he wants to see everyone come to know him. Now, a second thought under this, reflecting God's desire, is God desires everyone to understand the truth. You are praying for them, you're ministering to the seekers in such a way to where you want them to really grasp the meaning of the gospel, to understand what sin is and how Jesus saves them and what salvation is all about and why that is significant. Because there's one thing just simply to know the gospel, but there's a totally different perspective when you understand it. It's one thing to have facts about Jesus. It's another thing to understand the significance of those facts. You understand what's happening here? And so God says, I want them to understand it. So that's what you're praying towards. Now, we've been talking about the seeker, and one of the things that Genesis Church is about is the seeker. Our target audience is the unchurched, meaning believers who are not connected to a church and lost folks who are not connected to a church. Okay? The Missouri Baptist Convention has identified Aldrain County as 70% unchurched. Okay, that's new to you. That means drive down your street, count the houses, count 10 of them. More than likely, somewhere around 7 of those homes are not a Christian home. They don't believe in Jesus. If they do believe in Jesus, they're not connected to a local body of believers anyway. And we are after that group, okay? And we believe that what we're going to be trying to do over the next several months and few years is that we believe we can offer an alternative to than what's already out there. Not meaning what they're doing is bad, but we just offer an alternative to able to that will hopefully connect to a large population of that unchurched. We want to connect with them, okay? So let me ask you this question. Who in your life do you believe is a seeker and God is calling you to seriously pray for them on a regular basis? Whoever those people are, you need to write those names down and on at least weekly basis, lift them up to God to intervene in their life. Now, they could be around the world, but for those who happen to live here, think about ways that you can invite them to Genesis Church on a Sunday morning. We're convinced that many of the folks in our community, they will love this atmosphere. They will feel safe. They will connect. And it will remove a lot of barriers away from their mind and their heart that Satan has been using to deceive and blind them. Is this making sense? Okay? All right? But maybe today you've been sitting here and you're not thinking about praying for seekers because you're recognizing you are one. You're a seeker. And you're not so sure about God and Jesus yet. Well, if that's you, we would love to sit down and just have a conversation with you, answer any questions you have. You know, we're not going to do it up here in front of anybody. We're not going to ask you to come forward. But what we are going to ask you to do this, if you are ready for a conversation and you've got some questions about eternal life and about Jesus and about just heaven and hell and sin and the cross and whatever's going on in your life, if you've got questions about that, let me know. Or let Ben or Chris or Kenzie know. Or if you have a believer in your life, talk to them, okay? The Bible is true. God does love you. He did send His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins so you can have eternal life. All that's true. Believe it or not, and I hope you believe it. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we've highlighted praying about seekers today, and obviously you say in your word that it needs to be a priority. It needs to be significant. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help our life and our heart and our mind to adjust and align up with that priority. God, help us on an individual level make it a priority, but also, Lord, as a church body, help us make it a priority. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.